Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Innocence Redeemed podcast. I'm your host, Ray Bergman, and the title of today's episode is called False Prophets versus the Eclipse and the Real Deal. So you know, guys, there's been a lot of chatter by many as to what the coming eclipse holds. I mean, it's been speculation after speculation, some claims of which are building on the very pretense of insanity. You know, I've heard some say it's a sign that the rapture's near. I've heard others say it's a transition from darkness to light. Folks, I'm just going to come out and say, right here and now, both of those claims are wishful thinking. It would be nice if either of those were the case. You know, I hope it'll be the start of realizing for many that they need to come to repentance if they haven't yet. But more on that in a second. I want everyone to think back for a moment to the eclipse of August of 2017. You know, in that eclipse, it crossed America from the northwest to the southeast. This time, on April 8th, it's moving up from southern Texas to the northeast, right over Maine and over Nova Scotia. Even more interesting is the heart of the new Madrid zone is in the middle of where the X is. You know, it's just east of Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Now, am I suggesting the new Madrid zone is going to erupt on that day? No. I'm saying it's quite interesting, given how divided our nation is in every way possible, that a big X is being put right over the middle. Now, will there be an earthquake eventually that's going to split this nation at some point? Yes. Because it will be part of the coming judgment on this nation. Many have prophesied that. Folks, let me just say this is not a coincidence, all right? What everyone needs to take away from this nation being marked with an X is that God is on the throne and he's speaking. It's actually more so that he's warning. So let discernment be had on this. God is not just speaking through this eclipse. He has been speaking for some time now. What has he been speaking? He's been speaking repentance. Now, what's even more interesting is there's actually 8 cities or towns in the path of totality, or very near to it. And these towns are named Nineveh. They are as follows. Number 1, Nineveh, Texas. Number 2, Nineveh, Missouri. Number 3, Nineveh, Indiana. Number 4, Nineveh, Ohio. Number 5, Nineveh, Pennsylvania. Number 6, Nineveh, Virginia. Number 7, Nineveh, New York. And then we have number 8, Nineveh, Nova Scotia, which for those unfamiliar with that area or that region, that's in Canada. Now, I'm going to get more into the overall meaning of Nineveh in a few minutes, but if you believe this to be a coincidence, you may want to take a closer look at your Bible, specifically the book of Jonah. What did God instruct Jonah to do? Well, when you start on Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, God told Jonah, "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are." Now, those of you who are unfamiliar with the book of Jonah know that he wasn't obedient to God at first. You know, he went down to the port of Joppa, and he got on a boat leaving for Tarshish. Because of his disobedience, the Lord sent a terrible storm among the crew of the boat, so much so that he had to eventually abandon ship, and he threw himself overboard so the crew wouldn't have been shipwrecked. You know, in other words, by Jonah being disobedient, he put the crew of the boat in the same danger as those who he refused to warn at first. Now, what was the consequence for Jonah's disobedience? Well, Jonah was swallowed by the whale. And it wasn't until 3 days later that the Lord commanded the whale to spit him back out. Now, side point, I want everyone to remember this very point for later on, because I'm going to be speaking to obedience at some point before I close out this podcast today. But to get back to the story, once Jonah was spit out of the whale, God spoke to him once again. And this is in Jonah 3. The Lord said, "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you." This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed." The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. Now, I mentioned the towns and cities of Nineveh earlier that were in the path of totality. Am I suggesting that those specific towns or cities are under judgment just because they're in the path of totality or very close to it? Not at all. Because it actually goes much deeper than that, guys. You'll note that verse 3 states, it took 3 days to see all of Nineveh. You know, folks, let me just say, years ago, I drove from Florida to Arizona in 3 days. It is possible to get across this country or most of it in 3 days. And so, if that's possible, could you not theoretically reach anywhere in America in 3 days from where the X marks the spot? Yes, you could. In regards to what I'm talking about today, Nineveh represents this nation as a whole and a call to repentance. It's a call to repentance for all who identify as Christians. It's a call to those who are sowing wickedness to come to Jesus and lay down their lives to serve him and only him. It's a call to the prodigals to come back, for those who once knew him but drifted far away. Now that said, how many of you believe America will repent? I mean, she hasn't as a whole yet. You know, the reality is many are not going to repent and call on the Lord until the shakings begin. And how do I know this? Because my Bible tells me so. In fact, we actually read about this in Revelation 9, starting on verse 13. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now this is interesting, guys, verse 16. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. But those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. Now that sounds like an invasion if you ask me. You know, an invasion of captors who have wicked intentions and will show no mercy toward a nation of people and its leaders who love lawlessness and lewdness. And don't say that we don't love that, because that's all around us. It doesn't mean we do as listeners or believers. I'm saying that's the overall state of everything right now. You can compare it. Now, verse 20, and this is key to what I just said a moment ago, that many won't repent. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of their works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. There's a lot of that going on right now. And it's getting worse. So that right there means they did not repent from their wickedness. They would not repent from their idolatry. They would not repent from their witchcraft. They would not repent from their divination. They would not repent from killing and maiming of others in their Luciferian agenda. And those who went along with it or were complacent because they refused to know the truth that would save them were just as guilty. They wouldn't repent from their stealing. They wouldn't repent from their hateful, selfish ways. They wouldn't repent from their pride. Now, could America repent? Well, sure, she could, but unlikely. The truth is, many will dismiss this event on April 8th as just another eclipse. You know, no big deal, move along. You know, as I was searching facts for the towns I mentioned earlier, one of the search results was by a prominent news magazine saying, "The eclipse is here, and the conspiracies abound." Is it a conspiracy? Or a warning sent by God? How about a conspiracy fact? You see, this is why they're going to outlaw the word eventually. They're going to try to outlaw the Christian faith, the true Christian faith eventually. Because as these judgments begin to fall on this nation, as well as other nations, it is going to become so blatantly obvious and clear and in your face that scripture that was written thousands of years ago is unfolding. And the Antichrist system, which is nearly in place, will do everything it can to continue to sell people on deception. They're already doing it now. They've been doing it. And what's amazing is how many people still don't see it. Let's put this into perspective where this is going. Do you think that there's not a reason for these recent church shootings a month ago? It's because they want to begin labeling those who preach the true word as extremists so as to stop repentance from being preached when God begins to send his true prophets out to the churches to not only preach the true word, but also to heal the broken and lost and save them, to bring them to Jesus, to bring them to redemption. It's going to be a time, guys, of great persecution. But here's the good news in all of this. Just as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:9, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Now, you'll note that Paul said, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds," because that's exactly what we're going to be accused of. But the word of God will not be chained, because it lives in us, as does the Holy Spirit, in the midst of our sufferings, and those are what makes us true partners with Christ. And that's according to 1 Peter 4:13. And I mention this because I know that many of you out there are going through heavy trials. For many of you, the attacks have been super bad. You know, if it helps you, think of what Jesus suffered, though. Many of you are in a wilderness wondering when it's going to end. You know, just remember that these are designed to build your faith. It isn't necessarily that you did anything wrong. However, sometimes it is to refine you. Remember James 1:3, that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And that is what the Lord is doing with many of us. He's building us and strengthening us. There's also a transition going on for some of you. But in your submission, in your obedience to the Lord, in your patience is your reward. And brothers and sisters, let me just say, no battle was ever won in comfort. You know, unfortunately, there is suffering involved. But you're going to come out stronger on the other side. But remember, it's the obedience to God that he rewards, that he looks at. It's what's in your heart, what you give up to gain him, to gain new life in him. So we have to remember to keep running this race and not be tempted to give up. And I've been there, guys, so I know what you're going through. I know what it's like. Don't think that I'm sitting here, you know, exempt to any of this. You know, think of it like boot camp training, or better yet, Navy SEAL training. You know, they have what's called Hell Week. Literally, guys, that's what it's referred to. That's what it's called. You know, it's this regimen of grueling training with little sleep and a lot of endurance training. And you feel downright exhausted. But how can a strength in any way be built if it's not put to the test? How can one be trained? It's the same with faith. You know, people have told me before, you should teach on faith. It's like, well, it's kind of hard. It's like that's something that's exclusive to each person. God builds that person and what they need. He shows them. He shows them how to have faith. He stretches them. He has to do that. But we all share that in common. And that's essentially what many are going through or have been for a while now, so as to prepare them for what's ahead. And those submitting to the patience test and trials know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, on the flip side of that, you have many who can't or they won't submit. They just choose not to. You know, they can't endure suffering, you know. But even as everything is getting progressively worse by the day, and there's signs all around us of where this is all going, they still cling on that somehow things are going to go back to the way they were. You know, they would rather take the easy way. And this is as it's getting worse. You know, it would seem more and more are doubling down on the denial rather than doing what's right, or should I say suffering for what's doing right. You know, it's like I said in a previous podcast, as the lawlessness is beginning to abound, the love of many is waxing cold. Oh, they'll say there's love, but there really isn't when they're put to the test. They're offended if you tell them the truth. You know, the lawlessness, the injustices, the exploitation of foreigners, which, by the way, Exodus 22:21 mentions, we shall not do. But our wicked leadership certainly has no problem doing it. And because most people aren't affected by it, or at least not yet, nothing gets said. Nobody says anything. And that's not including other lawlessness that's going on. You know, there's quite a few examples of this. How many of you have heard about this thing going on where squatters are coming into vacant homes, and or it's people who went on vacations and they come home to find someone in their house, and then they call the police and the police don't even do anything? I think there was one story recently I heard about where somebody had to resort to using their firearm, and they got in trouble, even though it was in their house. You know, whoever thought we would see this day in America? What's another one? What's another sin? Adultery. Did you know that many states enacted a law long ago that said adultery was illegal? But now, leaders in some states are moving toward abolishing this law to make adultery perfectly legal. So, in other words, they're condoning it. And you know, guys, I actually have a clip that I found the other day. I was looking into this whole thing that happened over in Russia with these bombings on this concert hall, and I was just looking at different news outlets around the world, like BBC and Sky and all of them, and American outlets, and I found this clip by accident about adultery being legalized. Let's take a listen to it.
Lawmakers in the U.S. are seeking to repeal laws that makes cheating on your spouse illegal. Adultery in New York remains a misdemeanor under laws passed there in 1907. A bill is working its way through the state's legislature, which could make infidelity legal. Only a dozen people have been charged under the laws. However, half of those cases resulted in convictions.
So, you know, pretty bad that I have to go to a foreign news outlet, and in this case, Sky News Australia, to find a clip mentioning this apostasy. But my point is, and what I was just starting to say a moment ago, is that nobody is standing for what's right, or at least not enough. And as a result, because people aren't standing up, people don't even know what they're doing wrong. Or they don't care, because the majority continues to go along with it. The church isn't even speaking out against these things overall. And we wonder why we're finding ourselves in a Nineveh situation. Main Street America and the churches alike better start waking up. You know, get out of this trance of seeing everything through rose-colored glasses. The law itself in that clip is only a representation on the surface, but what it shows in reality is that the sin of adultery is taking place, and they're making it so it's approved of. And most people nod and move on. I'm sorry, but they do. And that's just scratching the surface, guys. I could go on about various examples all day, but the reality is, I've covered many of these. I've covered them several times. And if you think that that's bad, just wait until you find out what else they're going to legalize. Folks, they got stuff like a bestiality on the books, okay? They are really moving everything at a rapid pace. But you see, what's happening here is a further slide into degradation, rather than repenting. You know, America in the past was founded on godly principles. America identified as a Christian nation, but the reality is, we've become wanting and have gotten so out of touch and to a point where pretty much almost everyone cares only about themselves and their bottom line. You know, so much good could be getting done, and yet most do nothing. And I'm not sorry to say that, guys. That's not a judgment, that's an observation. God's going to do the judging if we don't clean our act up. And Christians, by and large, should be outraged about this. Or, for that matter, even the abortions. I've talked about that many times. But it's almost like it's this hear no evil, see no evil. We'll just sweep it under the rug and not talk about it and pretend we did. You know, let's just bury our head in the sand like an ostrich. And what everybody needs to realize, what they have to come to the terms with, is understanding everyone plays a part. Even if you only talk to a few, you know. But why aren't we speaking to what's right? It's unbelievable how many just keep their head down. You know, that's it's almost reminiscent of what happened in Nazi Germany. People kept their head down when the takeover occurred. And as a result, many people lost their lives. They sought to hang on to their lives, so they lost them. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Ladies and gentlemen, I don't see a whole lot of reproving going on. What I see is this fake element of going along to get along. And that's not going to work long term. You know, it's almost like it's being condoned for fear of rejection or straight up being ignored. Well, you know what, guys? I've been ignored and rejected all my life. But the bottom line is, where's the integrity? Who's willing to stand for what's right? Where are the morals? You know, finding the old ways and the willingness to walk in them and lead by example. Why don't more believers speak out? Why don't more believers lead by example? No, instead, what we have going on here is those who won't endure sound doctrine. You know, that's the precipice of 2 Timothy 4:3, which warns of a time that would come where, to suit their own desires, many would seek out prophets or teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. Like, don't tell us about bad things, just tell us good things. You know, it's this business of God says you will have this or that. And then there's this kingdom spouse madness going on. I mean, things like, oh, your kingdom spouse is going to show up at your door and sweep you off your feet, and you'll ride into the sunset together and live happily ever after with the house with the white picket fence, and everything's going to be well. Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids. But see, this is exactly the trick of the enemy. To get those who may not know any better to follow the white rabbit. And then what happens is these people can end up becoming lost or confused. And when it doesn't happen, it can lead them to be resentful. Or worse. Even resort to manipulation tactics like, God told me you're supposed to be this, or God told me that. It's like, you better know what you're talking about and not be trying to command your will on someone else's life. And you know, there's this old cliche, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And look, I'm not saying you can't pray for or ask for these things. But let's get down to business here. Who really is your kingdom spouse in this late hour? Is he Jesus? Are you working on building a better relationship with him? Are you seeking his will be done or your own? Or are you pretending it's Jesus while really seeking after an earthly spouse? You know, are you setting your sights first on the things in heaven, or are you setting them on the things of the earth? You know, we want to be careful that we're not getting caught up in idolatry or coveting. We certainly don't want to be getting caught up in divination. Folks, I warned strongly on this back in October to seek first the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added unto you. That is, if God has ordained that you marry. The bottom line is, not everyone's meant to get married. You know, some people are set apart. They're set apart to do a task, an assignment for the Lord. Guys, you have to seek the Lord out first on these things, not the prophets who tell you what you want to hear, because some of you, God may be getting you right with him first. There could be something there. You may not be marriage material. I hate to break it to you, but that, you know, we have to face reality. This is what I'm saying. We can't pad everything and be nice constantly about everything. Because either way, we're going to be given the truth. You know, the danger of these false prophecies is they can mislead many who may already be needing hope. And then when that prophecy that they believe, that false prophecy that they believe, never comes true, then they become discouraged. You know, why don't these so-called prophets, more often than not, tell them what they need to get right in their lives first? Why are they being disobedient, like Jonah? If they're going to label themselves that, why aren't they moving in that way? Now, does God send encouraging words? Yes. But He usually does a balance. This is what I've noticed, but there's those who will constantly always just say only good things. And I'm highly, guys, I'm going to be honest, I'm highly doubtful about that. The word is supposed to edify and correct all of us, even those of us speaking it. Nobody likes to be corrected, but the reality is that's what's needed right now. That's why we're approaching this Nineveh moment. It doesn't matter how well you think you're doing. God's word is meant to convict us all and to live our lives unto and for the Lord, first and foremost. You know, a lot of these so-called prophets, they're on YouTube, and they look to be doing pretty well, if you ask me. You know, sitting there with a gallon of makeup on in their luxury SUVs with leather-appointed seats. And that's not a jealousy statement. You know, I imagine they would do well, since they tend to tell those who listen to them everything they want to hear while getting fat off the hog. You know, this is super dangerous, especially now. This is in addition to those prophesying that a pre-trib rapture will occur. Some of them are constantly setting dates. Then, when it doesn't happen, then what they do is kick the can further down the road. And people still eat it up. You know, that's perplexing. They keep setting different dates. The word declares nobody knows the date or the hour, not even the Son himself knows. So this is important to note because many are suddenly doing this more and more. They're stating the rapture is imminent, but what you need to remember in this is that Jesus himself not only warned us that many false prophets would arise, deceiving many, but he also told us, starting on Matthew 24, verse 23, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now, what do you, as a believer listening to this, discern what that means? Well, what it speaks to me is they're going to attempt to stage a false return of the Lord or a false rapture. Jesus said the very elect would be deceived. Think about that. That's well-meaning Christians who believed their pastors were telling them the truth. This is concerning because then when it doesn't happen, just like the false prophecies, and people find out that they're going to need to endure and are not ready, they're going to have the potential of falling away when it gets tough, when times are anything but normal. Jesus warned about this too. Really, when you look at Matthew 24, much of what we need to know, Jesus spoke of how it would be in that chapter as far as spiritual hindsight is concerned, hindsight being 2020. Not in all things, but how the end days would play out aside from Revelation and the book of Daniel. You know, some are telling you everything is going to get better after the eclipse, or that Trump is somehow going to come in like Superman and save the country. Whether he does or he doesn't, guys, you should not be idolizing a man. What if God could turn that around and put Trump in there, and then he's the one who takes the fall and you're led into a trap because of your idolatry? That's what you need to consider. Folks, the bottom line is, it should be by now obvious that there is no hope in anyone but the Lord. We need to be praying more. We need to be drawing near to him. We need to have a relationship with him. We need to be living in righteousness, following, being a doer of the word. But what does the word actually say about these false prophets? Well, Jeremiah 14, verses 13 through 16, lay this out. "Behold, the false prophets are telling them, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine. But I, the Lord, will give you lasting peace in this place. Then the Lord said to me, the counterfeit prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have neither sent them, nor authorized them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you made up visions, pretending to call forth responses from handmade gods, a worthless divination and the deceit of their own mind. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the false prophets who are prophesying in my name, although I did not send them, yet they keep saying, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall meet their end and be consumed. And the people to whom they are prophesying will be thrown out into the streets of Jerusalem, victims of famine and sword. and they will have no one to bury them, neither them nor their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters. For I will pour out their own wickedness on them. And not only on the impostors, posing as prophets, for the people could not have been deceived without their own consent. You know, in other words, people chose what they believed. They made for themselves those with, they had itching ears, and they sought out who they wanted to, what they wanted to believe and what they wanted to hear. You know? But to say that peace is coming and peace and safety and then sudden destruction comes, that's essentially what we're teetering on the brink of, guys. You know, and again, it's similar to what I read from Revelation 9 a little bit ago and explained that there will be those who will continue to do whatever they want and believe in fables and fairy tales because that's what divination is. It's a form of witchcraft and it causes confusion. Now, folks, take everything to prayer, obviously, but I say that if you see a pattern emerging that does nothing but produce confusion or frustration, that ought to be a red flag right there. You know, the reality is, if you want to live a godly life, you're at times going to have to suffer. You're not always going to get what you ask when you ask. Sometimes you got to wait. Some things that God's going to bless you with are in heaven. They are not here on earth. But you don't give up. You know, some things have an appointed time. There's times of blessings, but there's also times of hardship. That's just the way it gets. That's just the way it is, guys. Nothing's guaranteed. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. But remember that if you're suffering in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord, you keep doing what's right for his name's sake. Trust the process and trust that you're where God wants you to be for the time being. You know, what are a few other verses we can look at? Jeremiah 23:16 is another. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the false prophets who prophesy to you. They are teaching you worthless things and are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own mind and imagination and not truth from the mouth of the Lord. Now note the word says, leading you into futility. You'll notice when you hear these supposed words, they're usually pretty vague, like almost a one-size-fits-all kind of word. You know, it's almost like it becomes like a guessing game or a wild goose chase because you get so caught up in these false words that you'll seek out more of those than seeking out the Lord on if it's even for you or if it's true to begin with. And again, I warn you, be very careful not to fall into the trap because many, unfortunately, have fallen into the trap and they have testimonies where they found out they were deceived, especially the women who were led into the kingdom spouse madness. The knight in shining armor did not come and sweep her off her feet. And she's left crying and wondering what happened. What's another verse? Jeremiah 29:8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your false prophets who are among you and your diviners deceive you. Pay no attention and attach no significance to the dreams which they dream or to yours. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. You know, above all, 1 John 4:1, and this is what I was saying earlier. Beloved, do not believe every spirit speaking through a self-proclaimed prophet. Instead, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets and teachers have gone out into the world. So, I mean, it doesn't get any clearer than that. You know, I've said before that the gift of prophecy is often tied to edifying, to draw near to the Lord. And in the case of Nineveh, where we began today, repentance. Repentance is what was preached. And the people took action. And as a result, God saw the repentance and he changed his mind. He did not destroy Nineveh. That's where we are. That's what you're being shown. This is a sign. This eclipse coming up on April 8th is a sign. You know, the prophets you read about in the Bible, they warned God's people of what was coming if they didn't turn from their sins. You know, they weren't sitting there in a luxury SUV with a bucket of Chanel on their faces telling you everything you want to hear. It was actually quite the opposite. They faced extreme persecution because they said what the Lord directed them to say, not what people wanted to hear. And a time's coming where God's true prophets are going to be vindicated, guys. As for the message God is sending in the eclipse, where the notion of Nineveh being likened to America and its wickedness and any dismissal taking place out there, be careful not to let the prophet's words apply to you. And that's quoting Acts 13:40. You know, there's a reason everything is the way it is right now. You know, let's be found on the right side of the Lord, because remember, Jesus said, quoting Matthew 12:30, anyone not with me is against me, and anyone not working with me is working against me. Think about that, guys, because we certainly don't want Hebrews 10:31 to apply to any of us. I'm going to leave it there for now, guys. May our Lord Jesus bless you. Stay vigilant out there, everyone, because things are about to start getting bumpy. Until next time, take care of yourselves.